I learned a while ago to just kind of go with the flow on things, because sometimes the plans that I have usually don't work out as well as I would like them to. Does anyone else have that kind of life? I like making plans. I really do. I enjoy making plans. I make a lot of plans. Not many of the plans that I make actually happen, but it's fun to make plans, and that's kind of what 2022 is all about. We're going to make plans. We're going to have different things going on, but you know what? Ultimately, we just need to relax and allow ourselves to find God and to follow God and to trust God in all things. So this week, I was supposed to be gone. That was kind of the plan last week. Nathan was gone to have family Christmas and things like that, and that was awesome, so we took care of that. And then this week, I was supposed to be gone to go have family Christmas with friends and family and stuff like that, and so he was going to take over. And so about Wednesday, I get a phone call that Nathan has COVID, and he's like, I just need to stay away and stuff. And I was like, no problem, no big deal. And he says, I'll call Brett, and Brett will take care of the service so you can still go and do your family Christmas. I was like, that's fine, no problem, no big deal. So then we had this plan that Brett was going to take care of it, and so I'm ready for that. And so then right about Friday, the family Christmas that I was supposed to have with my family on Saturday, I have five or six brothers and sisters and stuff like that, and they started looking at the forecast, and they're like, oh, no, it's going to be so terrible. We can't do it because the weather is going to be so bad. And so we canceled or postponed our family Christmas for the cook side that was supposed to be on Saturday. And then so I was like, oh, no big deal. So we're supposed to go ice skating with my grandkids on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. We were going to go ice skating, and I was excited about that. I was like, you know what? Let's just go ice skating with the grandkids and leave right from there, and then we'll just go down to Kathy's dad's on Sunday and have Christmas with them like we've been planning. So we're like, all right, that's what we're going to do. So Friday we're going to go ice skating, and then we're going to go down to Kathy's parents, and we're going to have Christmas with them. So Friday comes along, and the ice skating got canceled. I was like, oh, man, I was so looking forward to ice skating with my grandkids. I love ice skating with them, and they have the little walker things and stuff like that. I was kind of like, oh, all right, well, we'll just take off and go. Well, then we find out that the Bragg family Christmas is going to be postponed, too. And so it's just like all these different things, all these plans that we've got, it's just all gone. So I was like, you know what? It's probably for the best. God is in control. We got this weather coming in. It's going to be cold. It makes me nervous just leaving Gabe home with just all the animals and sub-zero temperatures and stuff like that. God's got this. He's in control. And so yesterday morning, I don't know what this has to do with much of anything, but I just love telling this story. So yesterday morning, we know we got all this big snow coming in and the wind blowing, the big drifts that we're going to have and stuff like that. So I'm thinking, all right, I need to get prepared. So I got out early in the morning. I get all my clothes on and stuff like that, and I'm doing all these different things, getting ready for the animals and stuff. And I got thinking, you know what? I got these pickup trucks, and they're kind of light, and I need to get some weight in the back of the pickup truck. So I thought, I'm just going to go split some wood. So I went and split wood, and I put the wood in the back of the pickup truck, and I found it never pays for me to think very well, because I had a load of wood in the loader of my tractor, and I pull out, and I'm going to put it in the back of my pickup truck, and I'm thinking, you know what, it's really slick, and the tractor's kind of hard to control. Instead of me pulling up to the truck and unloading the wood in the truck, I'm going to back the truck up to the tractor because I got more control with the truck. And so I back the truck up to the tractor. By the way, you all knew I got a different truck about not quite a year ago, and I just love, it's a Chevy. It's the first Chevy I've really ever owned, you know what I'm saying? And so I've got this nice truck that I really like a lot. It's got four-wheel drive. It's got air conditioning in it. It's got power windows and stuff like that. Heater works and everything. It's a nice. I really like my new truck. So anyway, so I back my truck up to the tractor, and I unload the wood, and I don't throw the wood in there because it's my new truck. You know what I'm saying? I want to take care of it. So I take each piece of wood out, and I stack it in the back of the truck very nicely. Very nicely in the back of the truck. I actually get two loads, and I put both loads. You know where I'm going, don't you? So I put two loads of wood in the truck out of my tractor, and each time it worked out great. But the second load, it wouldn't completely fit in there. So I thought, oh, I got my other old black truck. You know, I don't really care about that much. It's got over 200,000 miles. I need to put some weight in the back of that just in case, too. So I take the rest of the load and put it in the black truck. Okay? I put the. You don't even know about this because I was so upset and so embarrassed, I didn't even tell you when I came in the house. So I
put the rest of the load in the black truck. And it's cold out and windy. And so I've got my hoods up. Okay? You know what I'm saying? I got my sweatshirt hood and my jacket hood up. And I back away from the black truck. And my good truck is not where it's normally parked at because I backed up to the tractor. And I got a bale spear on the back of my tractor. So I need to come up with a really good story why I've got like a bullet hole about that big in the tailgate of my good truck. So if you come up with a really good story for me, that would be awesome. Like I was thinking maybe I was driving away and someone started shooting at me with a bazooka or something like that. What's that? I'm charged by a rhinoceros. Yes, I got the camel going. Now we can start on rhinoceroses. So I put a hole in the back of my new truck. About that big. But it's okay because it's a truck. Sometimes the plans, and we kind of outthink ourselves a little bit. Have you ever noticed that? I notice, you know, the plans I have are not always the plans that God has for me. And it's the same way with each and every one of us, whether we choose to admit it or not. I mean, I had great plans for 2021, you know what I'm saying? But God had other plans. And I've got great plans for 2022. I'm looking at 2022, and I'm just thinking, man, this is going to be a great year, and it is going to be a great year. You know why I know it's going to be a great year? It's going to be a great year because I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, God is on the throne. Listen to me. He is on the throne, and he has amazing plans for this coming year. And what we need to do, what our focus needs to be on, is to focus our hearts, our attention, our energies, all that we are, all that we have on him, and seek him with our whole hearts. If we do that, it's going to be an amazing year, just like last year. And the things that we have planned, we can hold on to those, but we hold on to them really lightly. But we give them to God. And we let him work in our lives in an amazing way. So about 2 weeks ago, Nathan brought me a piece of paper, an article that was written. And he's like, you know what? This article really got me thinking. He says, I don't agree with everything in it, but it really made me think of you, Eldon. I just wanted to give you this article. And it was an article on Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And it's the idea of the way that we think, that our thoughts, okay? He says, think about such things, whatever is true. Whatever is, and it goes on. And so I've been working on a sermon series on just that one passage, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. If you'd like to start looking at it for me this coming week, that'd be awesome. And I was planning on preaching on that this morning, but I just got into this idea that think about what is true. And that's a huge subject, especially in today's world and today's society. And so I've been working and studying and researching and looking at all these different things. And this morning, that's what I was going to preach on. Then Dave Jameson came in. This is what I'm saying. You got to trust God in things. Dave came in to deliver donuts. By the way, we got some great donuts back there. You all look like you probably have about four. We don't have enough people. So you can all have four donuts and a cup of coffee, and you won't have to have any lunch today whatsoever. So Dave came in, and we were talking about different things. And he says, you know, Eldon, one of the things I like about you is you're not afraid to change and to switch things up at the last minute. And so I'm going to change and switch things up at the last minute this morning. I'm going to try to turn over a whole new leaf for 2022. Actually, I'm going to turn over a whole new leaf for this Sunday, all right? I've got a sermon outline. And I've got copies of the sermon outline. And if you would like a copy of the sermon outline so you could follow along, just raise your hand. Right, I know people really love it when Nathan preaches because he always has an outline that you get to follow. I don't have any little there are fill in the blanks. I forgot about it. There are fill in the blanks of the outline of the sermon that I'm going to be preaching this morning. So if you would like an outline, I've got them right here. If you would like an outline for this morning's message, raise your hand real high, nice and high. Come on now. Don't be afraid. It's all right. All right, excellent, excellent. Here you go. It might be a test, yes. If you'd like a sermon outline for this morning. Anyone else? All right, excellent, excellent. Excellent. You want to pass them out? All right, there's more on the tables out there if you didn't pick one up. So, as they're coming around, we've got a sermon outline. Yeah, it's for each and every one of us. So, if you're wondering why everyone's laughing and giggling, it's our membership covenant for 2022. This is our sermon outline for this morning. And there are actually fill in the blanks. As a matter of fact, the second part is a fill in the blank. It is I, and you don't put, I'm going to say I, Eldon Cook. You don't want to put Eldon Cook in there. You want to put your own name, fill in your own name. There's not directions on how that works, but you fill in your own name. I, and put your name. There's a fill in the blank part of it. All right. So I'm kind of joking around a little bit, but actually, I really appreciate this. As a matter of fact, this membership covenant has changed over the years. It's very different than what we started with many years ago when it was first designed and come up with. When I was interviewing with this church a little over 17 years ago, I love this because it's different than most churches that are out there right now. A lot of times you can become a member of a church and they write your name on the rolls, and you're there in those rolls forever. As a matter of fact, I still get this. You've heard me say this before, but I was raised in the First Lutheran Church in Princeton, and I still get the newsletter as a member of First Lutheran Church in Princeton. And I'm kind of like, I've actually written them and said, you know, it actually comes to Pastor Eldon Cook on the little label. And I'm like, I've written them. I said, you know what? I appreciate it. Thank you. But my membership is... And they're like, and they just keep sending it. So here at Walnut Bible Church, we have this membership covenant that we fill out every year for the members of this church. And I appreciate this because it helps hold us accountable, and helps us think about this. And so many times I think we fill this out and don't really think about it in great detail. But this morning I really would like to go over this with you point by point and just kind of looking at it. Membership is important. Membership in the family of God is the most important. That's why I love how this covenant has changed and evolved over the last several years. So it says, I, Eldon Cook, I'm putting you in there for you, put in your name, having been called by God to faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is of prime importance. That's why it's at the very beginning. It doesn't matter if you're a member of Walnut Community Bible Church. It matters that you are a member of the family of God. It matters that you have heard the call of God in your life to come to Him, to believe in Him, to trust in Him, to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because without that, you're not a member of anything that's of any significance in any way, shape, or form. First and foremost, you need to have the understanding that God has called you. His love, His grace, and His mercy has been pointed right at you. And not only has it been pointed at you, at some point in time, I pray that you've heard the word of God. I pray that you've heard the calling of God and you've responded to that call. We cannot come to Him unless He calls us. And when He calls us, we have the opportunity to respond to Him and put our faith and trust in Him. To claim that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's the most important part. To accept Him as your Lord and Savior and to become, like what was read this morning, a new creation in Christ. That's first and foremost. After we get that settled, after that's settled between you and God, He says, you know what? You have an opportunity to serve in all kinds of different places. This morning, as I was reading and studying for my other message, it shocked me. In two or three different places, as a matter of fact, I had to get on the Google thing on my phone and actually try to confirm this. So the number varies a lot from all kinds of numbers, but from 33,000 to 41,000. Okay, there's a pretty big difference there. But there are somewhere between 33,000 and 41,000 denominations. Do you realize? I had no idea. I thought that was this crazy large number. Between 33,000, and that's just Christian. That we're not talking about Muslim and Buddhist and stuff like that. That's just 33 to 41,000 different denominations. So you've got a big choice out there. You know what I'm saying? There's all kinds of choices that you have out there. But We here, we're asking if you choose, you have a choice and a desire to be united to this body of believers at Walnut Community Bible Church. And so I hereby express my commitment to active membership in Walnut Community Bible Church this year. Now, active membership is kind of an important aspect because it's real easy. And you know what? As I was growing up, church is just one of those things that I did on Sunday morning. You know what I'm saying? It was just a small portion, a little bit of my life. It was a commitment that my mom and dad had made for me. Okay? And I think actually that is probably the mindset of majority of people, even Christians who understand who Jesus is. I think they have this idea that church is Sunday morning for an hour or so. Okay? And that's not what church is about at all. Church is a body of believers who come together with a common goal, the common understanding that we have been called together by God to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And church is not something that you come and watch and listen and get fed and receive something from. Church, being a part of a body of believers, being a part of a church, is something that you actively participate, not just for an hour on Sunday morning, but through the entire week. Because here's what church really is. Church is a group of people coming together with a common desire to share Jesus Christ with the world. And there's not one single person in all the world that has the ability to share Jesus perfectly by themselves, by their own ability, their own knowledge, their own skills, their own mindset. Not one of us are able to do that effectively by ourselves. And God knew that, and so he placed us within a body of believers who collectively come together and use their talents and skills and abilities and their knowledge and all these different things for the common good of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many times we think it's something that we're going to receive, but Jesus is something that we give, we share. And we need each other to be able to do that. Because if it was just up to Mark, we'd be in a world of hurt. Right, Mark? If it was just up to me, oh boy, would we be in a world of hurt. But I need Dan, and I need Ed, and I need Jonathan. I need Tracy, I need Ron, I need Kristen, I need Delmer, I need Colleen, I need all of you guys in some way, shape, or form to play the part actively that God has called us to share the good news of Jesus. And that's why we're here. He put us together as a body. And it's really cool that we have the ability to choose where we actively serve, actively. So, if you put your name on there and you say, this is my commitment, this is what I want to do, I want to actively serve. I want to actively be a membership. It says, I therefore, through seeking God's will in prayer and leaning on the power of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what this says, because this is important. We've changed this. Because so many times people were looking at this covenant saying, man, this is just impossible. I can't do this. There's no way. If I sign this, then I'm never going to be able to live up to it. And I feel like I'm just signing a lie because I can't do all the things that are in this covenant. So we've looked at this and studied it. And listen to what it says. I therefore, through seeking God's will in prayer and leaning in the power of the Holy Spirit, aspire to. That means I'm reaching for it. It's kind of like reaching for the stars. I know I'm never going to be able to touch them, but I can continue reaching. I can continue desiring to be lifted up in some way, shape, or form. I know I'm never going to accomplish it. And you know why I know that? Because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. None of us is perfect. As a matter of fact, our most righteous act are what? Like filthy rags. But because of the blood of Jesus, we have the opportunity to aspire, to reach for, to try and be like Christ, never being Christ, but to aspire to these things. And here's what we're aspiring to live out our mission. What is our mission? What is it that we're trying to do here? We're trying to know Jesus Christ. And we can be doing that for the rest of our life. We could spend 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. with just that one mission, trying to know Jesus Christ. He's that big. He's that amazing. He's that perfect. He's that incredible. We could spend all of our days just getting to know Jesus, because that's how amazing he is. To know Jesus Christ through your Bible study and worship and prayer. And not only do we want to know Jesus, but we need to take that knowledge that we get. You remember one of my favorite expressions from Dr. Bob Ray that I shared from seminary with you over and over again? Impression without expression leads to depression. You guys remember? Say it with me. Impression without expression leads to depression. Impression without expression leads to depression. I have internalized that in so many ways because I see so many people striving to know, to understand, gain all this knowledge. But if you have no way to express that knowledge, if you have no outlet to use those things, it leads to depression. And I'll be honest with you, I see a lot of Christians that are kind of getting depressed because they don't have a way, they haven't figured out the way that God has called them to express the good news of Jesus in their life. And so not only are we to know Jesus and to aspire to understand him more and better as a body and as individuals, we also have to express it, to make Jesus Christ known in our own backyards, in our communities, and around the world. That's our mission, to know Jesus and to make him known. Do you want to be a part of that? I hope you do. Not only are we to live out or aspire to live out that mission, we're also to aspire to aim for our vision. And if you wonder what our vision is, it's right there. Every single week we have an opportunity to look at it and to examine it and understand it more fully. See, I love this church. I really do. Because so many times the vision of the church is really to just, you know, to know Jesus and make him known, all right? And so many times we just try to do that by coming to church on Sunday morning and giving our tithes and offerings, or all these different things. But I love how this church took almost a year to flush out how we are to know Jesus and to make him known. How that's actually going to happen. And here's what we came up with. And I'm sure there's other things that could be added to this. But God laid upon our hearts our vision. So many times visions of churches are the next step in our building project, or the next step in this, or whatever. But our vision here is very simple, yet very complicated. We want to be loving, first and foremost. A body of believers who loves. We want to be grounded in God's truth. We want to be accepting and transforming. Our desire as a body of believers is to be selfless and accountable, devoted, forgiving, united, and joyous, expectant, and glorifying. Remember, we're aspiring to these things. We're never going to get it perfect. But if we don't have something that we're reaching for, if you don't have a goal that's set out in front of you, you're never going to move forward. We become complacent and sit still. Think of these different words. I'm going to read it one more time. And think of the one that God may be calling you to aspire to even more this year. Pick out one or two and say, you know what, Lord? For whatever reason, you've laid this word, as Eldon's read this, you've laid this word on my heart, and I know this is something that I know that you desire me to aspire even more towards this year. Please, Lord, give me the strength, give me the understanding, give me the knowledge, give me the desire to grow in this one area. Here we go. We're going to read them. Have you ever read something that kind of like sticks out on the page? Has anyone ever done that? Am I the only one? Okay, Barbara and I, we got that thing going on together. So you're reading something and all of a sudden this kind of stands out. To be loving. Be grounded in truth. Accepting. Transforming. Selfless. Accountable. Devoted. Forgiving. United, joyous, expectant, and glorifying. We're going to aspire. We're going to aspire. Understanding that we're not going to be perfect, we're going to aspire to continue to please my Savior by loving one another. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 says this, "This is the message that you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another." This is a message we've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. You see, love covers a multitude of sin. The greatest commandment is what? To love the Lord your God with what? All your heart and all your strength and all your mind. And love each other as yourself. We need to aspire as a congregation to continue to love. We need to aspire as a congregation to pray for one another and our pastors that their work should be a joy. I think Nathan threw that one in there, but no. So James chapter 5, verse 16 says this, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Honestly, Lee, I can't read that passage. I can't hear that verse without thinking of you. And I'm dead serious. Every time I hear that verse, I think of you because I remember you saying that over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, I think it was, I don't know, if, I hope it still is. I hope it's still your mantra. But I cannot hear that verse without thinking of Lee. "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." We need to pray for one another. You know, we've got this little, and I'm not getting down. But prayer is an important part of who we are as a body of believers. It's just like a family. A mom and a dad and his kids. Man, if we cannot share what's going on in one another's lives, our joys, the happy things, and when you run into your truck, if we can't share those things with one another and pray for one another, there's a problem in the relationship. And, you know, I'm not saying we have to share it with everyone, but we need to find five or six people that we can be honest with and share our concerns and share our joys and our victories with one another. Because when you're having a victory, Carol, and things are going great, it's really encouraging me to be, because I might be having a bad time and a struggle, and I need your encouragement. I need your victory to lift up my discouragement at those times. And God knows that, and that's why he puts us in community, so that while some are up, some are struggling, and while some are struggling, some are up. And we balance one another out, and we find encouragement from one another in Christ Jesus our Lord, whom we know is in control of any and all situations. Amen? We need to be willing to do that a little more often and be a little more honest in our prayers. The Hebrews passage, should we read it? We'll go ahead and read it. It's down in the other part. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says this. Whew. "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. Through that, there will be no advantage to you." Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. I feel sorry for you guys. I said from the very beginning when I got hired here, I am not the leader of Walnut Community Bible Church. You guys remember that? Even in the interview process, remember why I said that, Tracy? I said, I will not be the leader of Walnut Community Bible Church. I won't. I want to be the closest follower I can possibly be. And that's what we need to all aspire to. Because every single one of us Me, even Nathan. I know I'm going to be busting some of your bubbles on this, but Nathan is not perfect. He's pretty close, but he's not perfect. Brett and I, we're just kind of, you know what I'm saying, Brett. We're just hanging on by our toenails most of the time. And our board, they're a great group of guys. And our elders, I've never served with finer men. But none of us are perfect. And we've all made mistakes, and we're going to continue to make mistakes. Right, Larry? Amen. Some of us, more than others. But I don't want you to think, even for one second, that the second part of this passage is ignored by any of the leadership in this church. When it says they keep watch over you as men who must give an account. At the beginning of every board meeting that we have, at every elders meeting that we have, that concept is at the forefront of all of our minds. The decisions that we're making, the things that we're doing, are accountable to Him. And our greatest desire is to please Him, to glorify Him, and to serve Him. It's awesome to be a part of a group of men and women who have that same ideal. And we need to continue that. It says, obey. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. And it is. I love working here. Some of you are probably getting tired of me working here, but I love serving this congregation. Not to say there haven't been days that I've looked around and saying, man, is there somewhere else? And the answer keeps coming back, no. This is where you need to be. And I thank you for that. We're going to aspire to help one another grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and His Word. 2 Peter states that very plainly. Whew, I better get moving here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says this. Verse 17, therefore, dear brothers, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. Verse 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forevermore. We're going to help one another grow. Help one another grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ and His Word. We're going to aspire to aid one another in sickness and in distress. Matthew 25:44, actually in a couple different places, Jesus says, when I was hungry and you fed me, when I was sick and you came to visit me, and when I was in distress, when I was in prison, I am not quoting it completely directly right now, and He says, whenever you did it to the least of these, you did to me. To look at the needs of the people around us, not only in our congregation, but within our community, and help meet those needs. Not in our name, so everyone will say, man, whew, that Don guy, he is the most generous and giving and thoughtful person. And Katie, man, she is just so fantastic. You see, if we're doing it, if we're doing these things, we're visiting and we're providing and we're helping and we're doing it for our glory so people will look at us and say, wow, they're really good. We've missed the point, because everything that we do needs to be pointing back to Jesus. Everything that we do, we need to give it back to Him and say, the reason I'm able to do this, the reason it's come to my mind, the reason I have these resources, the reason I'm doing what I'm doing is because of what? Because I'm such a great person? No, because Jesus, because God has laid it on my heart to do these things, to share with you, to give to you, to minister to you, and to take care of your needs. If we're doing it for ourselves, we've lost it. Kathy gave me the cough. Oh, okay. I'm just teased. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. I can see it already. I apologize. I'm sorry, all right? There it is right there. Forgiving one another. Forgiving one another as God has forgiven us. Colossians 3:13. You know the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. God's forgiveness is amazing. And because of his forgiveness, we have the ability to forgive as well. And as a church, we need to remember that. We need to continue to remember and aspire to meeting regularly with one another. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it talks about do not forsake the assembly, but come together as a body of believers for encouragement, to urge one another on. We need to aspire to submit to one another, especially by trusting and supporting our leaders. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, it talks about that very same thing. We've already talked about it a little bit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says this. Verse 20, always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submitting to one another, and especially by trusting and supporting our leaders. Submitting to one another. So many times I think in our own minds, we think we know what's best all the time. You're all looking at me kind of funny. But honestly, we all do. We all think, well, I know what's best. Because if we didn't think, well, I know what's best, then we'd be doing something different, wouldn't we? We all think we know what's best, but one of the hardest things to do as a leader and as a congregation, as people, is to submit and think how other people think. Be empathetic to one another and listen. Because we think, we all of us think we have it down, right? God places us in a body of believers, and we all have different ideas, different opinions, and we can look at those things and we can come to a consensus, not even necessarily a consensus. Sometimes we just need to agree to disagree and continue to move on and serve God in whatever capacity he's given us to do that. I love this because it says we are to submit to one another and to our leaders. It says, sharing my gifts and talents in the church. In Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 8, it lists all these different gifts and abilities that God has given to us. And every single one of us, don't mistake this even for a second, every single one of us, God has given you a gift. He's given you abilities. He's given you something that should be used in the church for the betterment so that we can get this gospel message out together. And if anyone holds back, if we're holding back and saying, well, my gift's not important, or I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, every one of us has a gift that we need to be sharing in some way, shape, or form to get the gospel message out there, because we are one body sharing one message about Christ Jesus. And if anyone is holding back, it's going to harm the entire body. We need each other. Say it with me. We need each other. Say it with me. We need each other. And we need you. And don't hold back. We're going to aspire. Put away bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking and abstaining from sinful desires that war against the soul. I'm going to say that again. We're going to aspire to put away all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking and abstaining from sinful desires that war against the soul. You know, they talk about a little bit of yeast and how it spreads so quickly. One of the things that can destroy a church so quickly is the things that are listed here. And we need to aspire, when we see that happening in our own lives, to recognize it and to snuff it out. Not just for ourselves and our own well-being, our own hearts, our own minds, but for the lives of the people that we are worshiping with. Because Satan has an incredible way of allowing that cancer to grow so quickly in the body. We need to seek reconciliation and peace in the family of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. We need to aspire to obey in our path. That's like in there three different times. I don't know why it's in there. That must be Nathan. No. Aspire to obey our pastors and respecting the authority with which God has entrusted them. We need to aspire to giving cheerfully to the WCBC for the support of the ministry and the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spreading of the gospel to all the nations. We need to aspire to educating my children in the things of God. I want you to notice that real quick. It says, educating my children in the things of God. You see, that education starts at home. It starts at home. So many times we think we're sending our kids off to school and let the teachers take care of it, or sending the kids off to Sunday school and let those teachers take care of it. Guess what? Those teachers should be the support system for what we're teaching at home. On the other hand, Naomi and Obi, Daniel and Isaac, Leah, even Katie and Andrew, Elijah and Jonathan, Don, David, Loretta back there. You guys are my kids too. You know that? I love you guys very, very much. And I aspire to encourage you and to teach you, to love on you, to correct you, just as much as I hope you see me in the same way. You see, we're all children of who? We're all children of God. We're a family. That's who he's called us to be. We need to aspire to sharing my faith in Christ with others and to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who we want to be as WCBC for the year 2022 and beyond. There's one fill in the blank left down there. Are you willing to fill it in? Let's pray. Oh, precious Father God, you are an incredible and mighty and awesome God. And I just want to say thank you, Lord. I thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Most of all for your son, Jesus, who makes everything else possible. I thank you for your love and your grace. I thank you for your protection and your provision. I thank you, Lord, for your knowledge and understanding of who we are and what we need. I thank you, God, that you have created over 33,000 or 41,000 different denominations so that all who believe in Jesus have the ability to know and understand that they too can belong. Lord, I look forward to the day that there is only one church with one voice and one heart. And we're all looking to the one who is sitting on the throne. But until that day comes, Lord, I thank you for Walnut Community Bible Church. I thank you for the ladies who started a Bible study in a home and listened to the calling of God in their hearts that there needed to be another church in Walnut. And I thank you for Princeton Bible Church who help get that started. And I thank you for Ron Ekberg, who heard the call, stepped out in faith, played his guitar, and preached his heart out. And I thank you for the thousands, literally, Lord, of men and women and kids who have walked through the thresholds of these doors. And I thank you, Lord, for the lives that have been changed. I thank you for the marriages that have been saved. I thank you for the hearts that have been touched. And I thank you, Lord, that even though we're not perfect, we're trying to bring you glory with our feeble lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us for the days ahead to grow stronger in our faith and our commitment to you and to one another. Help us to keep our eyes and our ears and our hearts attuned to you and to you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.